So this whole week, we're looking back on the major issues of the past decade, everything from national security to culture, and there's no way to get away from the economy. It was one of the biggest issues we saw over the past 10 years. It busted and boomed and busted and busted more, and with an innovation and actually some creative destruction all along the way.
We're in the midst of the longest economic expansion in history, it's the lowest unemployment in 30 years, and the highest home ownership in history.
Should I be worried about Bear Stearns to get my money out of there? No, no, no.
Pretty much every single bank is plunging in early trade this morning.
And as Wall Street took another scary plunge, let's do all they can to limit damage to the global economy.
Stocks have dropped on Wall Street.
Credit crunch as well as shortfalls in the investment bank.
Home loan defaults rise.
I thought it was contained. We thought it was contained. And experts thought it was contained.
If our nation continues on this course, the economic damage will be painful and lasting.
To help us look back over the 10 years of money is Zanny Minton-Beddoes, economics editor for The Economist. Zanny, when it comes to the economy, what would you say were the major milestones this last decade will be remembered by?
Well, I think it's been a pretty spectacular decade. There were two milestones, recession at the beginning, recession at the end, I guess. The dot-com bust really began the decade, and then the subsequent recession. And then, of course, the financial crisis and the Great Recession marked the end of it.
I think people forget about what a big deal the dot-com bust was at the beginning of this decade, which kind of argues the fact that we don't remember these things and therefore we can't learn from them.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the dot-com bust was a huge financial bust or asset bust. I think one of the reasons that it sort of slipped our memory is that the recession that followed it was incredibly mild, and that was in part because the Federal Reserve, then under Alan Greenspan, slashed interest rates and really cushioned the economy, but in doing so, sowed the seeds of the housing bubble, which then in turn, of course, became a driving force of the next financial crash, the big one, at the end of the decade.
So there's another kind of crisis that occurred that many people have forgotten, and that's the Enron scandal, which of course was huge at the time. Did that lead to some changes in accounting measures that actually have stayed with us?
It did. It led to a very big change in American accounting and in the sense of American business. But I think when we look back at this decade, say from a decade hence or even two decades hence, the big defining features are going to be the housing bubble, the credit bubble, and then the huge bust at the end of the decade. And I think things like the Enron scandal and the accounting changes it wrought will be sort of further down the pecking order.
So if the 80s were the beginning of the global economy, what about this past decade have we learned about our the United States and other countries as parts of a global economic network?
That's a very interesting point. I think the 80s, as you say, were the beginning of the global economy. The 90s were the sort of real consummation of globalization. In the 90s, we had the fall of the Berlin Wall, the end of communism, the sort of arrival of emerging economies. And this past decade, we really saw their emergence. You know, now it's pretty much a household acronym to talk about the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, the big emerging economies. That phrase, that acronym, didn't even exist a decade ago. And that really symbolizes how these big emerging economies have come center stage to the global economy. And I think that's going to be, in fact, second only to the Great Recession. That will be the biggest milestone of this decade.
I also wonder if perhaps our perceptions of economy, of our economy and the global economy, are one of the biggest takeaways from this decade. Because I don't think many people thought about the boom and bust economy before the dot-coms crashed. I don't think people thought about accounting measures until the Enron crash. And I don't think people thought about things in terms of the Fed or the housing crisis or the Wall Street before the bank failures.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, often you don't think of things until they come up and hit you in the face, right? If you think, for example, of the commodity price boom, and that's another defining feature of this decade, is that it wasn't just in 2006, 2007 that oil prices started shooting up. Basically, from kind of 2002, 2003, all the way through until the recession, we had a huge increase in commodity prices driven by this very strong global growth, which in turn was driven by very, very strong growth in the emerging world. This was a decade which we'll look back on and say that for the rich world, particularly the United States, it was punctuated by recession at the beginning, recession at the end, and it really wasn't a decade of great kind of progress in people's living standards. But if you look at the big emerging economies, that's absolutely not the case. It was, for them, a very much better decade.
But, you know, what you just said is an important point, because in the United States, at least, sadly, we could be looking back at this decade as kind of the death of the strong American middle class.
Well, I think that's a perception, or that's a sense that's been around for a while, right? That the median worker has not been doing terribly well. But you're absolutely right that this decade not much was achieved, and to the extent that there was growth this decade, it was growth that was very much credit driven, unsustainable. It was a kind of unsustainable model based on rising house prices, rising equities, people cashing out, and living kind of beyond their means on the basis of that. And I think now we're going to go into a much slower recovery, a much more kind of circumspect period, and it is one that is going to fuel a lot of sense of, you know, relative American decline. I don't think we should exaggerate that. I mean, I think that America America's economy has a huge amount going for it, but there is a lot of restructuring that needs to take place, that is taking place, and it's going to be a long, hard slog. So it's not going to be a kind of, you know, return to party right away.
Well, let's talk about that long, hard slog, because they do say that, you know, you have to temper steel with fire, right? And if nothing else, this past decade has it been all about fires, either good ones or catastrophic fires in economic terms. So what's our tempered material coming out? What's the positive thing that we've maybe learned or set up so that these kind of things don't happen in the future?
Well, I think we've learned a lot about the financial sector and the dangers inherent in bits of the financial sector. I think if we learn the right lessons from that, we're not going to prevent financial crises, but we might prevent the same types of ones occurring. The big lesson is that we need a growth model that is less debt-fueled, that is less bubble-based, and more based on real investment, real productivity gains, reorientation of the economy more towards exports, a kind of more sober growth, if you will, less binge-based and more sober growth. But there's also another side to that, which is we need new customers and new people to buy American products, and that has to come from greater demand growth in the big emerging economies. Because the U.S. in this last decade was very much the engine of global growth. It was U.S. consumer spending that helped prop up the global economy. And we now, in the future decade, need to shift away to have new sources of growth from elsewhere, new sources of spending growth.
Actually, you know, I just want to mention, not to hate on Zanny, but talking about sobriety and the end of binging, it's not very popular around New Year's. But Zanny Minton-Bedos, we will forgive you for that. She's economics editor for The Economist. Thank you so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.